Jesus told us, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, we've been passing out for the last couple of months these wristbands, God is enough. I was in the grocery store down here Friday, and I was checking out, and I noticed the woman that was checking it out had on a God is enough wristband. And so I saw it and I kind of looked at it and I said, could I look at the other side of your wristband? And it said, ourkeystonechurch.com. I said, that just makes me feel good. She said, you know what? It makes me feel too good. Why does it make you feel good? I said, because our church is the one passing them out. He said, I feel good because it just reminds me that God is enough. Remember, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, Jerry, Jerry and I were out the other day and we stopped by to get us a hamburger, and I was at the counter ordering and I was talking to the girl behind the counter and I introduced myself to her and she to me, and I said, are you having a good day? And she hesitated. She said, it's okay. I said, well, how are things going for you? She said, they could be better. So I took off my wristband and I handed it to her and I said, I just want you to understand that God is enough. And this is when I go through hard times what I lean on, so I handed it to her. And went back in. And so after that, I went back to get me a refill on a drink. And she walked up beside me. And she said, I want to ask you if you wouldn't mind to pray for me. And she shared some things she's going through in her life. So I briefly prayed for her. And I assured her I would continue to pray. There are hurting people out there that need to know that God is enough. And God puts them in your path that you might remind them. Amen. And we do have some of these available on the information table. Doris, if she didn't mind, will slide out before the service is over and be sitting out there, get you a couple. But it can be, again, life-changing. We want to talk today about Jesus. Obviously, He is everything. We're going to talk today about His crucifixion and His death, next Sunday about His resurrection. Then we're going to talk about His ascension the next Sunday, and then finally His second coming the last Sunday in April. But we're just going to talk about Jesus again, because He said, if I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So we're going to talk about Christ today in particular. I want you to catch this. Christ came on a mission of restoration, which required His death. You see, Jesus came to restore that which was broken. And what is broken is your relationship with God. And our relationship with God is broken because of our own rebellious sins and sinful nature and our own independence and our own desire to do things our way. The book tells us that our sins have separated us from our God. And because we've been separated from God, everybody looks everywhere trying to find something that'll meet that need in their life. They may try drugs, they may try alcohol, they may try sex, they may try buying things, they may try achievements, trying to somehow fill this void that is left because they're separated from God. But the only thing that'll fill that void is God Himself. You see, our sins separated us from God. There is a punishment upon our sins, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And because of our rebellion against God, death is the consequence. So Jesus had to come to satisfy the penalty of our sins. But to better help you understand it, today's message is going to be very simple. Today I want to help you understand the mystery of the Lamb. Just a simple, humble Lamb. But I'm telling you, throughout the Bible, you'll find the Lamb. And if you'll understand what goes on with the Lamb, you'll understand why Christ had to come. And I'm going to take you through five different steps in the Bible that help you understand the Lamb. And it'll help you understand why Jesus had to come and die in your place and in my place. And why in the end He will be highly exalted, and that at one point every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is God. And there will be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." So I'm going to take you back to a journey in the Old Testament. We're going to start in the book of Exodus, and we're going to wind up in the book of Revelation. But I hope if there's one thing that you can get out of today is that I understand a little bit better why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Amen. So with that, let's go to our first point, the Exodus Lamb. Now, before I look at the scripture, let me tell you the story. Israel for 400 years has been in bondage, slavery in Egypt. They cry out, "God, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us." These are the descendants of Abraham. God sends Moses to them. And plague after plague after plague that God sent through the hand of Moses, Pharaoh said, "No, I will not let your people go. Not only that, I will make their work harder." So he doubled their workload. So the slaves are working harder. Pharaoh is getting angry. And the people are looking at Moses saying, "You've put us in a bad spot here." Moses comes before God and Moses complains, "You've not set them free." And this is what the Lord tells Moses. He says, "Moses, I've yet one plague to send. And I will promise you this, Moses. At the end of this plague, Pharaoh will let you go." He says, "Pay attention, Moses. Pay attention. Because you need to hear exactly what I say. And you need to get it exactly right. Because the life of the firstborn of all the children of Israel hinges on you getting this right exactly." He said, "Moses, on the 10th day of the month, every family is to take a lamb. Not just any lamb." He said, "It must be a perfect lamb. Male of the first year. The best lamb they've got in their flock. They are to take this lamb. The 10th day of the month, they are to separate him, and they are to put him up and keep him separate, keep him special till the 14th day of the month. Because on the 14th day of the month, pay attention, Moses, on the 14th day of the month, they are to take this lamb and they are to sacrifice him. And they are to do two things. They are to eat all of the flesh. All the flesh with nothing left over. And they are to take the blood from the lamb and strike it on the doorpost around the doors of their home." Because he said, "Moses, that night, my angel will come through the land of Egypt. And he will strike the home where there is no blood. And if there is no blood on the doorpost, the firstborn shall die." He said, "But when my angel goes through, if he sees the blood, if he sees the blood on the doorpost, the angel will pass over you and spare your home. Here's our scripture verse. The Lamb's blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see there, the Jewish Passover. The Jewish Passover celebrated today is in reference to this Passover. Now, do you understand the significance? Moses called the people of Israel together. He called them all together. And he said, I've got something to tell you. And he's saying, fathers, pay close attention. Because he said, fathers, the life of your firstborn hinges on you doing this right. You know what? If I'd been there, I would have taken a pencil and paper and taken notes. I would have wanted to make certain we got it exactly right. And this is what Moses tells them. He says, God is about to deliver us with haste. He said, on the 10th day of this month, everyone is to take a perfect lamb. He said, please understand, not just any lamb, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be the best that you've got. And you are to take out this lamb, watch him for 4 days. On the 14th day, you are to sacrifice him to God and take of that blood and put it on the doorpost of the home. And he also told them, when you eat the feast that night, be prepared for a trip. He said, put your sandals on and keep them on. He said, pack your bags because you're about to go on a trip. And he said, you're going to eat unleavened bread when you go because it won't have time to rise because of the yeast. You don't have time for it to rise. So they all took their notes. And on the 10th day of the month, all the families of Israel, they found that perfect lamb. They brought him out, kept him till the 14th day. On the 14th day of the month, they sacrificed him. They took from the blood of that lamb, put it on the doorpost of their home. And then they waited that night. Is God faithful? Is God true? Is God going to do what he said he would do? And friends, he always does. He may just not do it like you think he ought to do it, but he will do it. So they waited that night. Perhaps they heard some of the screaming from some of the homes in Egypt. Perhaps some of their own number that didn't believe, Moses didn't obey. But when the angel of death passed over, he spared all the homes where the firstborn was. And the very next day, you know what Pharaoh said? Get out. Get out. Get out and leave my presence. Because his own son had died. You see, this is the Passover. This is what it all goes back to. This is when we begin to see that lamb. See, here's what God is doing. God is what we call doing a foreshadowing. He is showing you in the past what he's going to do in the future. He's giving you an idea of something that's going to transpire centuries ahead. And it all revolved around that lamb in Exodus. When the Lord told them clearly, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we today, as followers of Christ, we plead the blood. We plead that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because it is all that's ever going to bring us into a right relationship with the Father is the blood of Christ. All right, let's go to number two. See the Exodus lamb. Now the Passover lamb is this. This is a day that we are to commemorate for the generations to come a festival to the Lord God, a lasting ordinance. He's establishing the Passover. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. And when the children ask, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then you shall tell them it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord. Then the people bowed down and they worshiped. The Lord established this festival as a reminder of what he did in Egypt. And here's what would happen. When it became time for the feast of the Passover, that very special meal would be prepared. The bread that was served was unleavened bread. It was a very special festival meal. And it was the tradition that the youngest child in the family, when they sat down to eat, would say, "Father, Father, why is this day so special? Why do we celebrate this day?" And the father would then tell the story. The father would tell the story of Moses in Egypt and of how Pharaoh would not let them go, but that God sent the angel of death, and in all the homes covered by the blood, the angel of death passed over. And the father would pass it on to his children. And then the children, when they became adults, would pass it on to their children. And then when they became adults, they would pass it on to their children. And today, when the Jewish people gather for Passover, the youngest child is going to ask, "Father, why is this day so special? Why is this day different than all the others?" Now let's just quickly, while we're sitting there thinking, let's move forward a few centuries. Jesus and his disciples have entered Jerusalem on this day that we call Palm Sunday. They are there for the festival of unleavened bread, or the festival of Passover. They are there, and as that day approaches, when they will partake together, Jesus and his disciples gather in an upper room. Okay? And he and his disciples partake of the feast of unleavened bread, or the feast of Passover. What the disciples didn't get, and I hope that I can explain this to you, was that what happened in Egypt was a foreshadowing of what they were about to experience. That in Egypt, a lamb taken from the flock was sacrificed. But that what was about to happen was that the perfect Son of God was about to be given up as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. That Jesus was about to become the Lamb of God. And that what was done in the past just foreshadowed what would be done in the future. You see, all the Old Testament saints, they put their faith in that lamb. They put that faith in that sacrifice. God took their faith in that sacrifice and he transferred it to Christ, to the sacrifice he would make one day. God moved their faith forward. You and I, we look back to the sacrifice that Christ made, and that becomes our hope. Everything is on the Lamb of God. So you see, they gather, they celebrate. And as Jesus gathered with his disciples, again, I don't think they had a clue what was about to transpire. That God was about to sacrifice his lamb for their sins. But let's move on to number three. There is, in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the gospel. If you ever have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone that is of the Jewish faith, you go to Isaiah 53. The text I picked out for today was, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. It was the Lord's will to crush him. It was the Lord's will to cause him to suffer. Let me share just a few more scriptures here. Now, this is from Isaiah 53. Now, understand that the people of Israel knew this passage. They just couldn't figure out who it was talking about. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We turned our backs on him and looked away from him. We did not care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his sorrows were a punishment from God for his own sins, but he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we are healed. All of us have gone astray like sheep. We've left God's path to follow our own, and the Lord God has laid on him the guilt and the sins of us all. Now, listen to verse 7 here. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And it pleased the Lord God to crush him and to put him to grief. Let me tell you about a holy dilemma that God faced. Okay? You need to understand that, first of all, God is holy. God is just. But God has another attribute, and that's the attribute of love and mercy. Sometimes the two conflict. You see, the justice of God demanded that sin be punished and sin be dealt with. But we could never be good enough to atone for our own sin. Never. But the mercy of God said, I want to have a relationship with them. I want to love them. I want to spend eternity with them. So how do I bring together my holiness and my mercy? How do I bring together justice and love? And they meet at the foot of the cross. You see what God did? God punished your sins. God punished your iniquities. He punished your rebellion. And he put it all on his son. Remember, he carried our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He put them all on his son. And the Bible says that it pleased God to crush him because God there was pouring out his anger upon his own son. We are told that when the cross of Jesus is raised, that the clouds got dark. I've heard some say that they think it got dark because God was angry. God was angry at his son. God was angry at the one that was bearing the sins and bearing the iniquities. And there he poured out his anger upon his own son. Jesus cries out at one point, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because there he is punishing his son for what I did. His son is having spikes driven through his hands because of what you did. And this is what Isaiah is talking about. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. A lamb is innocent. But a lamb is being sacrificed for the sins of the people who are making the offering. Jesus becomes our offering. Jesus becomes the sacrifice that atones to God. Do you honestly think, and I love the way the prophet puts it, do you think that the blood of a lamb or a goat is really going to appease God? No. But again, to those that put their faith in that lamb, God transferred it to the lamb that he was going to sacrifice one day. Isaiah 53 tells us that one day there's one that's coming who's going to bear our iniquities, who's going to bear the chastisement of our sins. He's going to bear up under everything that we should have to bear up, and he will take our punishment. And he will not open his mouth and complain. Now let me skip on down to verse number four, point number four. Paul says, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us. John the Baptist was in the River Jordan baptizing. And he understood that he was a forerunner, that he was there to prepare people for the one that was to come. And as he is baptizing, the Spirit in him stirred. And he looked on the hill coming down to him. He sees Jesus of Nazareth. And he knows who he is. You see, to everybody else, he was Jesus Bar Joseph, Jesus, son of Joseph. But when John saw him, John ceased baptizing. And I think John probably looked at Jesus descending down the hill and probably pointed to him. Can you remember what John cried out? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And when Jesus came down to him, Jesus looked at John and said, John, baptize me. And John said, my Lord, I'm not even worthy to untie your shoes. He says, John, baptize me. It's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. God had a plan in place. You see, every father listened to Moses. And I think they went through that herd, and I think their toughest decision was which one of these lambs is the most perfect. And that father would take that lamb and sacrifice that lamb, hoping and praying that somehow it would appease God and God would spare their oldest child. But God would not be able to spare his own son. God would not be able to deliver him from the cross because our sins must be dealt with. Our sins must be paid for. And Paul reminds us emphatically that Christ was our Passover lamb. You see, our sins separated us from our God. Our sins stood between us and God. In the Holy of Holies, in the temple of God, there was a curtain that was closed, and only once a year, the high priest of Israel, one time a year, the high priest of all Israel would go into the temple, and he would walk into the Holy of Holies. He would walk in there to make a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people of Israel once a year. Matter of fact, that they would tie a rope to his foot, and they had tied bells on the skirts of his robe. Because as long as they heard them, they knew he was moving. But if they ever stopped, they knew he had died in the presence of God, and they would use the rope to drag him out. You see, no one dare approach the Holy of Holies. God had been separated from us. But Jesus, when he's on the cross, Jesus, when he's shedding his blood for us, at the very end, he cries out, "It is finished." And that curtain that stood before the Holy of Holies was torn in two. Now we have access to the Father. And I am told that in Hebrew, what he called out when he said it is finished was a phrase that you would hear in the business market when someone paid off a debt. That what he was saying was, "Father, it is paid. The debt is paid. It is finished." And the word says, and with that, he gave up the ghost. And he bowed his head and he died. The Lamb of God was sacrificed that you and I might be able to enter into the Holy of Holies and one day stand before God, and that here we can have a relationship with a living God. Because Christ died in our place. Now let me hit this final point quickly here. I love this. The triumphant Lamb. John speaking, the disciple that Jesus loved. "I wept and wept because no one was found who could open the scroll and even look inside." John sees a vision into heaven. There's a scroll that everyone is looking at, and they say it needs to be opened. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed." Then I saw a lamb looking as it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. Looking as it had been slain, what do you think that means? Covered in blood. Standing in the center of the throne. And then those around them, the elders and the angels, begin to sing a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength. To the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And then they emphatically said, "Amen," which meant so be it. Moses stood before the people of Israel and he said, "Let me tell you the story of why on the 10th day you're going to need to get yourself a lamb." And all throughout the Old Testament, we see the blood of Christ. It surfaces again in Isaiah 53 when we see what Jesus is going to have to do. We see it in the gospel when Jesus is pronounced the Lamb of God. And we see it when John peers into heaven and he sees that the Lamb of God has been exalted because he was slain. You see, today is historically, and if you noticed on the front of your bulletins, there are some palm branches. See, here's what happened. Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem. Now, there are people talking about capturing him and having him killed. He knows it. But he's coming back. And the people are thinking, well, if he is the Messiah, maybe he'll restore the kingdom now. So what they did as it came through, they took palm branches and laid them before the donkey he was riding on. They would take their coats off it, and they made kind of what we might would call a red carpet for him to ride into Jerusalem. They called it the triumphant entry. But what they didn't get was that Jesus did not come into Jerusalem that day to establish his kingdom. We're going to talk about that in 3 weeks from today when we talk about the second coming. When Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, he came for one purpose. He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." He came into Jerusalem that day to face the cross and to be sacrificed for your sins and for mine. And how anybody could think there's any way to be right with God other than through the blood of Christ amazes me. If there was any other way, Jesus wouldn't have to have died. Dare we stand before God and say, "Well, God, I was pretty good. I treated people okay. I didn't lie too much. I think you should let me into heaven." Jesus shed his blood for nothing. No. One way and only one. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Let me tell you one more interesting thing in the book of Revelation. Three times in the Bible, there is another a book that's mentioned in Revelations. Here we see the scroll with the seven seals that Jesus opened, and this is right before he comes back again and the plagues begin to hit the earth. But there is another book in heaven, and you know what it's called? The Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. And everyone who has put their faith in Christ, everyone who has come to Christ, everyone who through faith in Christ has applied the blood to their soul, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Now we just a second ago showed you that innocent lamb standing in a pasture. We see Christ was the innocent, sinless one that laid down his life for us. He made it possible for us to have access to God. But for that to happen, we have to make a decision. We have to decide, am I good enough? Can I do it? Or am I going to be humble enough to say, "God, I need the Lamb in my life. I need the Lamb that was sacrificed for me." If you've turned to Christ, heaven is your home. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you're uncertain, you could make certain today. You could just say, "Father, forgive me. I've been rebellious and I've been sinful. I've done things my way. And I'm going to trust in the shed blood of Christ. I'm going to trust in the blood of God's Lamb. For you see, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." But can you say, "Worthy is the Lamb"? He's worthy enough that I will give him my life. Amen. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Guys, if you'd give me some music. Heavenly Father, as we are reminded this day of the passion of Christ and of what he had to pay for our redemption, I pray, Father, that our hearts would yield, that we would turn away from our bull-headed, selfish, stubborn, demanding ways, and we would look in humility to Christ and say, "Forgive me. forgive me for I have sinned. And apply what he did at Calvary to our life. Now if you'd say, Pastor, I want to apply his blood to my soul today. Pray this prayer with me. If you want to make certain that you're humbled before God and that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, right there where you stand, you can pray this prayer with me. Father God, I confess to you my sins. I confess my intent, my rebellion, and my demands that things be done my way. I confess my failures and the times I've hurt so many others. And Father, I know in your sight I can never be right through anything I can do. But this day I bring before you the blood of the Lamb. And Father, I plead before you the blood of the Lamb. And that you would apply what he did on the cross to my life. That I am not worthy, but he is. And I pray that for his sake, you would take me back. I pray that for his shed blood, you would wash me clean. That for his sacrifice, you would consider me righteous. Jesus promised he would do it. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But until we stand before Christ and we plead the blood, and we look on him as the Lamb of God that died in our place, our name will never be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, I want you to pray one more prayer. To say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for putting my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now, Father, I will do my best and thank you for what Christ did to live a life pleasing to you. And Father, I praise you and I ask you in this one name. And that is the name of Jesus. Now before you sit down, if anybody would simply slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I prayed this prayer and I ask that you pray for me. Father God, Father God, speak to us and to those who have made decisions today. Strengthen them. Remind them. And help them in times of doubt to trust you. In Jesus' holy, abiding name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.